Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
And here we go. Welcome in. Episode 11 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. We are live from the WGN Radio studios like we always are, high atop the seventh floor of the beautiful Tribune Tower on the Mag Mile. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Happy New Year, Michael. I was going to ask, can you still say Happy New Year? It's been like a week.
Yeah, but I haven't seen you, though.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the person, you can still do it.
You could, so if I haven't seen you and it's like April 4th, I can still throw a Happy New Year in your way?
Can't do that. I was going to say, once it gets into double digits. So once it gets to like January 10th, then you can, then you got to cut it off. But I haven't seen you since before. It's the 8th today or 7th today. So I thought it was allowable. I actually thought about that before I went down and got you from the lobby. I said, do I say Happy New Year?
That's very nice. You think about me a lot before I get here.
I do.
It's very reassuring.
I mean, this is a partnership, my
friend.
That's
what I was going to say.
You can only make the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast.
Co-pilots on this wild ride.
With the two folks that we've got right here. I can't do it all myself, bro.
No. I mean, I need that. I couldn't.
I need that co-pilot.
I don't know this radio jazz like you do. I need you, man.
So it is 2016 now. We talked about our New Year's Eves that we had here the last week, and mine was pretty quiet. I know yours was pretty quiet. I had to actually work till like 11 doing the Blackhawks game that night. They were in Denver playing Colorado, and I just met with a few friends, a few of us, nothing too crazy. How about you?
We had a marathon of The Affair, a great show on Showtime going. So that was my party.
I've heard good things.
It's really good. Yeah, I thought it'd be a little boring, but the stakes are higher than I thought. I need high stakes. I need a Breaking Bad. I need a Game of Thrones to get me interested.
Okay.
So it's good. We watched that, watched a little bit of a Seacrest countdown, and our baby was up till midnight. So successful first New Year's for her, and definitely a wild one for us.
You didn't watch The Chi-Town Rising? It was right across the street from us.
Just the name alone, man.
Oh, that was a huge controversy here on WGN Radio, let me tell you. A lot of people were not happy about that. Nobody calls it Chi-Town. Why is Mario Lopez hosting it? He's not even from Chicago, which is a legitimate...
You can't argue with Slater hosting something, though. Who cares?
But you should get somebody, as long as it's not Jim Belushi.
He's probably throwing quiches into the audience.
Yeah. He does have those dimples. He is dreamy. But another week has gone by, and we got plenty of Blackhawks to talk about. They're rolling right now. They're on a five-game winning streak. They just won a back-to-back with... Or home and home, should I say, with the Pittsburgh Penguins. My mind's all over the place today. We're going to keep it focused here. But, yeah, and that was great couple of wins there. The Breadman, 4 goals in 2 nights has been unbelievable.
Insane.
We'll get into him a little bit later. And we got the All-Star game coming up at the end of the month. The rosters have been revealed. Captains have been revealed. A very interesting captain.
There's a lot to talk about there.
Very interesting captain that's going to be on the ice, who I, by the way, cannot wait to see get destroyed on 3-on-3. It's going to be embarrassing for him. And then we've got some roster moves, too. We said bye-bye to Jeremy Morin for, the 27th time?
He was 26, I think. I think you're overshooting it there.
He was traded again. David Rundblad was loaned, and now he's in Switzerland.
Is he, like a used car while you're waiting for your car? I love the phrasing of that. We were talking about that before the show. Like, what does that even mean? We looked it up, though. But
so when you're Stan Bowman and you go and talk to David and you just say, hey, David Rundblad, come here for a second. We've loaned you to Switzerland. Like, what? Loaned me. So to me, that'd be like a slap in the face. Like, can't you just say trade? Make me feel a little bit better.
Do you think loaning a player gets an in-person meeting? Or do you think, like, Stan's having a busy day, maybe shoots him a text with, like, a sad face emoji?
I think that deserves at least a phone call.
If not a sad face emoji. Yeah.
I mean, even Lovie Smith got a phone call when he got fired from Tampa Bay. How about that? Lovie Smith gets fired over the phone. That's rough.
I don't know. Maybe they think he's going to break down in person. Kind of a soft coach, you know? Maybe,
yeah.
People don't want to see the waterworks. I don't know.
a lot of guys like him, though. So
that's true.
Keeping it on the ice and away from the football field.
Please.
It was nice. I mean, we've seen some overtime finishes here. I mean, Jonathan Toews continues to finish big in overtimes. We'll get into a few stats there. We'll get into our King's Keys. and we'll take the fan questions like we always do, which you can submit using the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy on Twitter. Make sure you visit our Facebook page too, BlackhawksCrazy. You could just search in there and you'll find it, or just facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. So we've got that for you. And a really cool article I saw in the Chicago Tribune a few days ago. It's talking about climate change and how they're trying to basically help out with global warming, in so many words. So that'll be pretty interesting to talk about a little bit later on as well. So, but again, the home and home is done with Pittsburgh, and anytime you can get two wins like that when there's so much travel and the turnaround's so quick, you got to be happy with yourselves there. And Pittsburgh's a talented team.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they fired their head coach in the middle of the year. They got a new head coach in there now, and they seem to be gelling a lot more. So to get a couple of wins like that is big.
Yeah, they're always a good team. I mean, maybe they have two of the best players in the league who sometimes aren't playing up to par. You know, but like you said, two huge games for Panarin, a rookie getting two goals in two games against a team like that. Two very big nights for him. Very timely goals. We'll get into when we talk about each game. And then you have Kane, I think, in the first game on Tuesday, reaching the 60-point mark.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he did it last game, actually. But 60 points for him. You know, he's grabbed 37 points in 42 games. Again, every show we talk about Patrick Kane in the second line, and for good measure. Absolutely ridiculous season he's having already at 60 points before the All-Star game.
And Anisimov on that line, I mean, he's kind of the forgotten guy. He had a great Definitely. Screen on Panarin's first goal yesterday, and Panarin's release on his shot is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's why when people say that just because of Kane that he, you know, might win the Calder or it's kind of his to lose now, it's look at the shots he's making, look at some of the ways he's setting up Kane. Very, very talented player, especially for his first year in the NHL.
Yeah, and exactly. And Kane is more impressed with him than anybody. I mean, he had some really nice things to say about him yesterday at the United Center, and here's what he said.
You know, you knew he was a special player right from the outset. You know, great puck control, great shot. You know, very focused on hockey and being successful too. So as his career goes on here in the Blackhawks, and he'll get even more accommodated here in the United States and everything like that, he'll become a better player. So sky's the limit with that kid.
See, there you go. I mean, he says sky's the limit for this kid. And that shot, again, that release is unbelievable. And we actually had a chance to ask Coach Q about that as well yesterday after the game. And here's what he had to say about that.
He snaps it, and you don't know when he releases it. And I think that's the deception of it is can catch goalies. And he's got some pace behind it, too. So I think you put the two together, it's lethal.
Panarin's been impressive, obviously. And, I mean, this is a guy we've talked about it a million times. You know, he's still trying to just get used to life here in the United States. I mean, yesterday he still had, again, another interpreter for him because Tikhanov's gone. So after the game, you get to interview him, but he had an interpreter, so it's like, it's so weird still, but at the same time, he can just focus on hockey because he doesn't have to deal with us in the media, really. But it's still really impressive how he's been able to adapt to not only American culture, but the American game.
Yeah, and I think even with the language barrier, I think he's a guy who is kind of happy to talk to reporters when he gets a chance. I mean, when people want to talk to you, and the media wants to talk to you, it's because you're doing something right. Or horribly wrong, but usually on the Blackhawks, you're doing something right. And he seems to enjoy it, and you know he has no problem giving quotes. He likes the attention.
And you know what? I got to give credit to Fleury yesterday for the Penguins because he made some fantastic saves, and his defense just was not in front of him yesterday.
He's a great goalie. He flies under the radar sometimes too, mm-hmm. like Crawford, but you know he's definitely proven himself.
Scott Darling played well last night, I thought. I think he called him solid after the game, which for him, you know, he hasn't had the best year, I think, Darling. I mean, there's been a couple of games where the defense has just really let him down.
Yeah.
But he's struggled at times too. So it was nice to see him get some confidence back yesterday.
I think he won his last two games then.
Mm-hmm. So he's starting to pick it up a little bit. He seems more confident. He seems more comfortable. I mean, he talked about how this is the first time he's really been in like a true backup role. Because
he was a guy in rock for
He was always he always called it an A-B situation sort of thing, and now he's further down the alphabet.
That's a very good point. It's a huge adjustment. You know, last year he got the call. He was happy to sit on a bench, and like he knew from watching on TV. He knew like all the NBC reporters, and he was just like a little kid.
Oh yeah.
But you know, now he's used to sitting there, and he wants to contribute. And you can only take so many shots in practice and in the warm-ups. So Yeah, he wants to play, and he's playing better now.
And one more thing about last night's game, because I want to get into that overtime win, too, in Pittsburgh, which was great on Tuesday. That Malkin rocket that he put in last night was disgusting. That was amazing how quick. You want to talk about a release?
Yeah.
That was a rocket.
I mean, it makes sense. He's a skilled guy. He's got a big body. He's huge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's a big boy.
So that makes a lot of sense.
And, Kaner getting into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were going after him a little bit. I can't remember who it was. Was it
Hornquist?
Yeah, I think it was Hornquist. That's
last
right.
Last night, at least, it was.
Yeah, and then Taves at the end of the game, of course, Mr. Fighter this year.
He kind of went after Daly a little bit, too, and Daly bumped Shaw.
Yeah.
He might have been second period.
Yeah, it was kind of, even though he was here, he was here for just a short period of time, it was kind of weird to see Trevor Daly out there at a Pittsburgh Penguin.
And I remember.
Sweater.
I remember.
Sorry, can't say uniform. Sweater.
Sweater, jersey, same thing.
Yeah.
Uniform.
Yeah.
But I remember Taves used to say a lot of nice things about Daly. And Daly seemed like a nice guy. It's hockey. You bump, you play.
He was classy. He said he's like, his exact quote, I think, was, "I wish I could say something bad about the Blackhawks, but I can't."
Yeah. And he was, you know,
wasn't a fit.
He got traded away from a dynasty team, so there's probably plenty of bad things he could say. So, yeah, like you said, classy. He handled that very well, the whole thing.
So we had Darling in net last night because Tuesday night we had a fabulous performance again from Corey Crawford. They win in overtime 3-2. Another exciting win. Taves gets that overtime goal to get them the win. And, that's what I think you got the stat here. He set the franchise record for 4 overtime goals now in one season. We're not even at the halfway point.
Yes.
And that's pretty impressive. And the fact that they are able to get it done in those overtime periods is huge. Huge.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of getting to that shootout, and I mean, to be able to get it done in that extra time period is that could be vital going down the stretch.
Huge. Yeah, they said another two of them. Taves gets it on New Year's Eve versus the Avalanche. And then Panarin, I don't know if you heard a TV broadcast because you were working, Mike. Panarin scores Tuesday against the Penguins to win it. And Olchek says he goes top cheese because it gets right under the crossbar.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a... I don't know if I heard that before. I thought it was such a great
Oh, that's
great
right.
Way.
Yeah, Taves was New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Okay, I was screwing that up.
That was a
right.
great game for New Year's Eve.
It was.
You know, we got these back-to-backs to talk about, but that was very entertaining.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. And you know, to finally get that hump off your back, because Colorado has obviously
Varlamov, man. It was their nightmare.
Yeah, Varlamov. Forever. That team's been an Achilles heel for this team.
Always,
You know, just to get over that hump, you know, head into the new year, kind of get that off your back. You know, that was their third win in a row right there. Now they've got 5 after the home and home. So, overall, they're just gelling better. They're playing better. That third line, Desjardins is having a great year. You got Deneau on that line as well, and Tavo. He had an empty netter last night. But
yeah, those are two guys you don't think are going to have a lot of chemistry that have, is Tavo and Desjardins. I think, what was it? He had a 4-game point streak going, Desjardins. Mm-hmm. Red hot out of nowhere, a guy who had trouble in the beginning of the year.
Had his first multi
two goals
game or multi goal game last week
with
too.
As a Hawk,
he's been a really pleasant surprise there.
No, I'm sure Quinville's been very happy with them, and Deneau doing a great job as center. Yeah. He's kind of more than, I don't want to say more because Kruger was so underappreciated, but he's maybe a little bigger and he's doing things a little differently than Kruger does.
He's trying to get out of that Kruger mold, you know. Like I think
just kill, just play,
exactly.
Just back check.
And
he's looking good.
And I think he's kind of another guy that's flying under the radar that a lot of people are talking about. But he's one of those guys. He does a lot of things that maybe the a casual fan would not notice.
Right.
But when you're like when I'm there at the games, covering the game, and you're it's not just the camera. You can actually look away from the puck.
Yeah, you try to watch everybody.
He does a lot. Yeah, if you're a Blackhawks fan right now, this is a good time. This is definitely a good time.
Yeah, not just what they've done the last few years, but even this year, you know, everyone talked to still. We've already talked about it. I'm going to talk about it more. That first line, they don't have a guy who's very skilled playing left wing.
Mm-hmm.
Shaw's having a good year, but they still need a guy who can cycle the puck with Taves and Hossa and score. And they've had problems on D this year too, but they just won 5 straight, like we said at the top of the show. So they're heating up a little earlier than it usually. This is before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
It's usually a couple weeks after that they get going, and you think, okay, yeah, they have a good chance in the playoffs. So it's a little early, and that should be exciting for fans too.
No question. No question. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. And speaking of that All-Star game, we're going to get into that just a little bit. But let's talk about these couple roster moves. Jeremy Morin, again, is traded. they get Panic in return. it's just one of those things where he, for whatever reason, organizationally has never fit here. And
no.
He's been moved so many times, it's ridiculous. And then they got him back in the Saad trade, correct?
Yes.
From Columbus. That's how they got him back. So, but he's out the door again. And I think it's best for both, you know, for both parties. Just keep him away. They can't get him traded back again.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
No, it's, you know, you got to feel for him. He, not only did he get traded to Columbus in the first place, but I feel very strongly that if Quenneville had started playing him at the beginning of the playoffs and kept him in the lineup, that they would have won the cup in 2014.
Really?
Yes. Because you look at what the Kings did with a guy like Toffoli, who is now top six, very skilled.
No.
But he was bottom six then. He was new to the league, and you know that was a guy from the HL that they were playing, riding that was hot. And I think right before the playoffs, Morin had – it was at least a four-game point streak.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had seven goals. And I don't know why you would just – you know, he has trouble – he always does kind of have trouble trusting younger guys, and he wants their whole game to resemble that Blackhawks mold. But I think you should have definitely ridden Morin back then and you know, could have looked at a repeat there and, you know – who knows? Maybe three cups in a row, or
yeah.
But yeah, you never know. Those are long seasons, and things happen. But I think he maybe could have gotten a better shake the first time. So hopefully, he gets a better opportunity this time around.
Yeah, and I think he will north of the border. I really do. So we'll see what happens there. And then we talked about it a little bit earlier, but David Rodenblad is quote unquote loaned to a Swiss team, and that, I mean, essentially that's what it sounds like. I mean, that's. He's being loaned to them, essentially. So the door is not totally closed, and that's my phone that I should turn off.
I'm so scared it was mine. I'm glad it was yours.
So essentially, the door's not completely closed on him yet. I mean, Q wouldn't say that as much, but basically, we will probably never see David Rodenblad again, and he is in Switzerland.
I was going to say, at least the screen door is closed. There's going to be some noise and some adjusting to get back in the door, but I don't think we're going to see him again. That's a guy that, you know, he's a Stanley Cup champion, but from how much he played last year with the team and in the playoffs and during the final, but that's a guy that you could tell Quenneville didn't really want to play as much as he did, and maybe he was a Bowman guy.
Bowman gave up a second-round pick in 2014 right at the trade deadline to get him.
Right, so he saw some potential, and look at Bowman's record. You can't argue overall with the moves he's made. His moves, I say, single-handedly won the cup last year.
Well, I mean, you're a general manager. Not everything's going to work.
No, of course not.
And we've talked about it a million times, too. Q system is so unique, and some guys just can't ever adjust to it.
Yeah, look what they won daily recently.
And then they go somewhere else, and they could have a lot of success. I think the organizationally and the system that you're in is huge no matter what sport it is, and – if your skill set does not fit that specific organization, you know, whether it's hockey or even football, you know, if you're more of a pocket quarterback and they try to put you in a run and gun type of offense, it's not going to work. You got to adjust, you know, you got to adjust to that, to your players. But in hockey, it's usually kind of vice versa, where your system, you have to adjust to Q system, at least here.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't, then you're going to find yourself in Switzerland or somewhere else.
Right, because with three cups, they have their formula, and you have to adhere and adjust to that. Apparently, you could be in another country.
So best to David Rodenblad and Mr. Morin here. So the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast continues here, and we're going to get into the All-Star Game now. The roster's revealed. Coming up at the end of the month in Nashville, down at the Bridgestone Arena or something like that. I think
it's called Nashville.
Can't remember. I think it's. I always just call it United Center 2.
I call it Smashville.
United Center 2 because anytime the Blackhawks play down there,
so many fans.
Blackhawks
right.
drink all the liquor out of their bars and basically take up half their arena.
Yeah, just look at the arena. You see about a million red jerseys.
But the city of Nashville is awesome.
It is.
It's a lot of fun.
My buddies had a bachelor party there. Very fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot like New Orleans.
Yeah, it's kind of got that feel to it. It does. And I think for an All-Star game, it's a perfect venue.
It'll be a lot of fun.
So we know who the captains are. Patrick Kane, obviously, Alex Ovechkin, and then the one where the Twitter world took over and the fans voted him in as your captain from the Arizona Coyotes, John Scott.
I love it.
I think it's fantastic. A lot of people are like upset about it.
Yeah, look,
like,
man.
It turned out to be kind of a joke. Essentially, yeah. That's how he's in. That's why he's in. A Twitter handle or a hashtag got started on Twitter, and everybody just kind of joined in and voted him in. Now, John Scott is not very good. We saw him
how
here.
How dare you?
We saw him here and here in Chicago, and he hasn't gotten any better. And
I believe he scored a couple goals.
Well, okay, great. Good for him. I mean, when you're bad, he's just not very good. So they ended up. He ends up getting voted in as a captain. So he's going to be out there on these 3-on-3s that they're going to be playing in the All-Star game, and he is just going to get lit up, and that'll be entertaining to watch.
Well, look, man. It's first of all the people causing all this commotion on social media. I imagine their teams that they root for probably aren't that good. That they're all wrapped up in, you know, who made it and who shouldn't have made it to begin with, but. It's not the Stanley Cup final. This guy's not going to have like a profound impact on. They're not voting him into the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. It's an All-Star game. It's for fun. Does it make you look better? Is it an honor to get voted in? And should some guys more than others? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's kind of the argument that some people are making. That,
I understand.
You know,
that.
Like there's somebody else that could have. You know, and plus it's built into a lot of these guys' contracts.
Yeah, but then
in terms of incentive, like if you make the All-Star team, you get a bonus. So they're saying that John Scott, because this has been a joke that he got voted in. There's one guy out there that perhaps isn't getting paid or isn't going to have the honor.
That's fine,
of being.
But maybe it's not to some people who voted. Maybe it's not. That much of a joke, because what do those guys that do that used to be such a big part of the game, that take punches to the face, that know they have to fight a guy and can't sleep the night before, that throw up during games, you know, and they have all these medical issues after, they're very serious. What do they have to show for what they do besides this is a fun thing, and I think it's a nice kind of tribute to that role. That is kind of dying off. Those guys aren't going to be able to get paychecks anymore.
Oh, it's
or they're
going to
be buried in the AHL, you know.
Yeah, the John Scotts are a dying breed.
Yeah.
So I actually just think it's kind of cool that the power of the fans
got them in. Yeah, their voice.
And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be interesting. I always look forward to the skill competition with the All-Star game. Now that it's going to be 3-on-3 this year, I think that's intriguing me, and I think that's obviously their goal when they're going to be splitting up divisions and whatever. So that I think that's going to be a lot of fun. But
what if John Scott wins the shootout competition? Dude, he's an incredibly funny guy.
Twitter might break.
It might break. It might be like a Kim Kardashian scantily clad photo.
Could,
if John Scott
could
wins
be that,
the
or
shootout.
It could be a
breakaway challenge, whatever it is.
What is her name now? I always forget. Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner. Like, remember when Twitter broke with
yes.
Caitlyn Jenner? So who knows? I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's at the end of the month.
Professor Hammerfist, man. Good for him. Little known fact, he has a master's degree in mechanical engineering.
No.
So he's not
crap.
Just a goon. Yes.
Interesting.
Super nice guy, too. I always like John Scott.
Interesting. So, no, I mean, he was pretty well liked, it seemed
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's good for him. Good for, you know, enforcers and the fans being heard. If it was a joke, to some people find it is funny. But also, I think it's a nice tribute, too.
Did you happen to catch those All-Star jerseys that they're going to be wearing?
I did. Yeah,
thoughts?
I mean,
I bet they're kind of boring.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You just have like black and yellow and white and black and yellow. It's look,
yeah,
last
the color
year,
scheme's not. It's nothing crazy. I mean, I know this is a podcast and it's kind of hard to describe, but it's just very.
Yeah, people have seen them though. They know.
Yeah.
They know what we're saying.
They're,
I think
they're
last
plain.
Year
they're boring.
Last year I said that they looked like they were Nickelodeon game show uniforms.
Because really?
they had like that green like slime stripe on
oh,
them. They
yeah,
looked awful
yeah,
last
yeah,
year.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
terrible. So they're simple this year, but they're not nearly as horrendous as last year.
So are you legitimately looking forward to the All-Star game?
I am. Yeah. Look how entertaining. We've talked a lot about 3-on-3 overtime. Look how entertaining it is. What a circus it is. It's not entirely a free-for-all either, because look at skilled guys like Taves, mm-hmm. who are good offensively and defensively, and look at some of the plays Kane and Panarin
but it's
have
always
been
like a it's always like a 10-8 game anyway. So 3-on-3,
it's going to be totally different.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays
it's
out.
It will probably be high scoring, but it'll be very interesting, because it's been a lot of fun to watch. And seeing Kane and Taves, what they can do together, because they've mostly been out there for the first shift of all the 3-on-3s this year. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And we were mentioning too the skill competition, and I was always a big fan of it. You know who I always loved in the skill competition was Paul Kariya.
Oh yeah.
To watch him in that, he was so fast, and that was a lot of fun to me.
It's a name you don't hear a lot.
Yeah.
You're a fan of his, huh?
Yeah, I kind of got to get to know him a little bit, cuz he spent some time he's kind of like in an ambassador role now with the Ducks sort mm-hmm. of thing.
and my time out in Anaheim. So, but he was just a, I thought he always sticks out to me for whatever reason growing up, him in the skill competition and fastest skater and all that. So.
I've heard you hear a lot of people talk about how fast he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, he was a more of a finesse player, but he was a lot of fun to watch. He was a lot of fun to watch. So moving on from the All-Star game, before we get into the to get into your King's Keys, we're going to take a few questions here at the end too. It was a really interesting article about climate and how the NHL is trying to basically reduce its carbon footprint. And it was one of those that kind of came across on Twitter, and it was by the Chicago Tribune, Kevin Blackistone, and it was just very interesting. The vice president of hockey, of the National Hockey League, and his name's Omar Mitchell, and he's also the vice president for corporate social responsibility. He actually attended the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency seminar, basically like an EPA seminar, about how to, you know, reduce global warming, essentially. And the NHL is really trying to do everything that they can. Here's a few snippets from it. And this, again, is from the National Hockey League vice president. In his name, again, is Omar Mitchell. Our game, which is probably unique to most than other professional sports, is so tied to the environment. We need cold weather. We need fresh water in order to play. Therefore, our game is directly impacted by climate change and fresh water scarcity. So we've developed NHL Green, it's called. It's a mandate to promote this type of awareness across all of our organizations. So over the course of the next 5 years, we've done everything from food recovery, in which, you know, they used unused food to prepare in all arenas and donating it to local food banks and things of that nature. And they've also done like water restoration programs.
Yeah.
They've been doing testing about how, you know, how ponds have been affected by the climate change and global warming. It's really interesting. I mean, and if you really break it down, like everything that is in this article, it's kind of in depth talking about, you know, how they're in arenas across the entire league. Now they're trying to reduce electricity costs, and it's really interesting article. So Kevin Blackistone, it's in the Chicago Tribune. I believe he's a Washington Post guy.
Yeah,
but
the Tribune threw it up on their site.
It is on the. We'll throw it up on Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy.
Sure.
It's really interesting, and talking about how they're reducing their carbon footprint and everything that the NHL. And I didn't even know that they were doing this.
No, that's what caught me the most about this, because you figure, you know, the vice president of the NHL, any guys in charge over there, they're going to be busy with the Winter Classic and the All-Star Game and Olympics and Stadium Series. And then
this has a huge
it's a big endeavor.
Yeah.
And they use a lot of water. Yeah. I just, you know, it's interesting. They go to a climate change forum in Paris. You think those guys are busy enough with day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
But it's a good article because it's, you know, obviously they're very dependent on water. You don't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just watching the games and you think it's easy to do that with the rink every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, very good article you turned me on to there.
And then one of the questions that they asked is, you know, have you seen any actual loss in the frozen pond environment? He said, you know, they're in touch with a university in Canada that is doing a study called Rink Watch. What they're doing is getting folks who play on frozen ponds to record conditions in their local ponds, and that way we can get a crowdsource information. Then there's a historical record of that, and then they can build a database. So I think that's they're basically testing ponds and seeing how that, you know, climate change is affecting that. And speaking of climate change, I know I just read a few minutes ago that it was like the second warmest December ever.
And it's happening.
It's
yeah.
So, I mean, it's
it, can't ignore it.
And it does affect the NHL big time.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when
you don't think about it.
When, you know, one of their biggest moneymakers are these outdoor games. So I just thought it was really cool. So make sure we put that on the site, Chicago Tribune. And it's a Chicago Tribune article. We'll put it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. It is now time for the King's Keys, and this is my man Scott King's keys to the next couple of games so that the Blackhawks can pick up a couple of points in those games, sir.
First of all, I have to reiterate something here. Before I do the keys, I forgot to talk about how bad Crawford got screwed not being on the All-Star team.
No, you know what? That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know you wanted to get into that. And that is crappy. I mean, he leads the league in shutouts.
Sure.
And I think he's fifth best in goals allowed.
I think it is. He did get up to fifth, I know. So I think he's still there, and no one else has six shutouts. But I understand that you can't they're not going to be a lot of guys with this three-on-three format. So you figure Kane and Taves are a shoe-in, obviously, everything they've achieved, how good they are, how much they're liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the fans voted for the first round of guys, then the NHL hockey operations selected all the next guys for the rosters. But you just look at, you know, I don't think because they're the home base, I don't think Nashville needs three guys when everyone else has two. And yeah, you have Rene in there instead of Crawford, who Corey Crawford, goals against average, 2.22. Pekka Rinne, 2.43. Right there, one of the biggest stats.
And yeah,
Crawford's save percentage, 0.925. Rinne's, 0.907. Only two shutouts. It's kind of a joke. And Alex Bosch at CFN Intern tweeted that, so I saw that. And John Dietz for the Daily Herald had a really good point that another good stat, Rinne's save percentage ranks 27th among goalies with at least 20 starts. Dude, he's one of the worst goalies in the league in that respect. He's a good big goalie.
He's struggled
a
little bit
this year.
He's
been great before, but he's having a really bad year.
Nashville's just struggling a little bit in general right now.
They looked really good last year, but that's a rough of a season he's having, and he's there instead of Crawford.
No, I'm glad you got that in because Crawford did kind of get the screw job.
I understand you can't have three guys, and Kane and Taves are going to make it, but you know, and Dubnyk's stats weren't as good as Crawford's, and a bunch of other goalies that made it.
Again, it's just on the national stage, and I think locally sometimes too. Crawford just does not get the respect that I think he deserves because I think he's
absolutely
a great, great goalie, and he's been a great, great
Look
goalie
at that,
for a long
that
time.
That last overtime Tuesday, those saves he was making.
Unbelievable.
We talked about it a little bit. Just flurries and shellings. You know that the guy was just. There were so many shots, and he was deflecting or absorbing everything.
It was impressive.
Yeah, but to get into the keys now, let's do the keys.
Kings keys.
Thank you.
Let's do it.
I need that power intro from you. That's why they call you Silky Pipes.
That's right. That's the instigator.
The instigator of Kings keys. Right. First, I alluded to it before. Hossa needs to start scoring. 5 goals, 12 assists only.
Yeah, he's
looking at Hossa with only 17 points. You know, that first line has had issues.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a playmaker on the left wing still, but I watched him get 2A-plus chances that Taves set up last night, Mike. And
they had a lot of chances
last night. And he couldn't put them in, and they were – you know, I saw some holes there. He's got to find the back of the net. Hossa needs to score. His back check is always strong. He's one of the best two-way guys in the league. You can never say anything bad about him there. He always works really hard. He's just got to be a little more precise with the spots he's picking,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, like to see him light the lamp a little bit.
And also, second key, Hawks need to get a left wing for Hossa and Taves to play with. And they did acquire Panic, who's a left wing, who had, 25 points in 33 games with the Marlies, the Maple Leafs AHL affiliate, before he got traded over here for Morin. So maybe they get Panic a chance on the left wing. And, you know, I don't know, it's an AHL guy. Maybe he has to work his way up, but he's a Slovakian just like Hossa, so maybe he's a Slovak, so maybe they have some chemistry. Maybe they can get something going.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens here. And this kind of actually leads into some of our Twitter questions that were submitted this week and or Facebook questions. So you can submit questions every week. We kind of gather them, and then we kind of select a few that we want to do. So, again, hashtag BlackhawksCrazy. Use that on Twitter, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. You can submit them there as well. And this one, kind of leading from that, this one from Heimrocks?
I had trouble with that too. So is it trying Heimerocks to be a Blackhawks pun or not?
I think it probably is, and we're just both missing it. It probably is, but will Stan, as in Stan Bowman, give up prospects for a top four D-man or forward? Anything's possible with Stan Bowman. And anything could happen. I think the better they play and the closer they get to the trade deadline, and if they think they can really make a big, big run and they can afford to, of course he's going.
That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, see how things develop and shake up. They got a nice winning streak going here. They're looking dominant, but I'm sure he's already been on the horn trying to do this. Those are their two holes they've had for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they're playing really well and they're getting some wins and they're climbing the standings now, those are the two holes. And I think – because Gustafson has looked good. And
Gustafson actually had a great – he hasn't scored an NHL goal yet,
looks,
but he had a
he
great chance
great
the other
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I agree.
He's been impressive.
Very, very, very steady there. Great young player. So I think he's already been trying to – I would say more so a guy who can play left wing on a top line. I'm sure he's
already, I think that's a bigger need.
Yeah.
That's a bigger need.
We'll see if Panic gets a shot, but to answer that question, I'm sure he's already tried to get both of those positions filled.
Yeah, and then Brian Zier kind of asked about that too, Richard Panic, and where does he stay on the roster? I think he will. I think they're going to give him a legitimate chance.
Yeah, he's around now, so I think, you know, if someone gets hurt or maybe, you know, how Quinville is, he cannot like how someone plays in one game, someone's in the next game. So yeah. I think we'll see that really soon.
Yeah, I mean, and then if, you know, if they'll bring him up here, if it doesn't work out, they'll send him back down.
Exactly.
They'll send him to Rockford. So, I mean, it's that easy. So, and then this last one from Josh Roberman, speaking of Rockford, what happened to Marco Dano? You know, is he expected to be in the lineup anytime soon? Was expecting him to mesh really well with our forwards, and we haven't seen much of him at all. The consistency is not there. Q said that a couple of times regarding Marco Dano. They're just trying to get him more adjusted, more comfortable in his own skin here at the highest level.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I think he played in like 25 games or something for Columbus. Is that right?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Something like that. I can't remember. Don't quote me on that. But
no.
I mean, he's only 20 years old. And again, the consistency, when Q uses that word, which he uses frequently, that means he could be down there for a little while here.
He could be, but
guys, who knows? Maybe after the All-Star break, he could be up. But it would not surprise me if we did not see Marco Dano until after that.
I agree. He seems like one of the guys that Quinville would give another chance to. And I'm still really surprised that he didn't mix in well there, because those games he played in Columbus, there were so many good highlights that I would watch from those games. And the way he played in training camp at Notre Dame, he looked like he was going to be their left winger.
No, he did. There was times where he really looked legit.
So I think it's more defense with him that Quinville wants him to work on, because he always had a good net front presence, especially in Columbus, but still pretty much here in Chicago. He has good hands, so it's a matter of him putting everything together.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I'm trying to actually look up his stats right now from Rockford. But yeah, I mean, regardless, I mean, I know he hasn't looked terrible down there. I know he hasn't looked great either. He just still needs to find his way.
He's got some work to do, but I did think he was going to be there early in the season and staying, so I'm surprised by it. Hopefully he gets a chance soon.
So there you go. That's the questions for the week there. Again, hashtag Blackhawks Crazy. Visit us at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. We're going to put up that great article about climate change from the Chicago Tribune on there. We're also going to get a blog going here from Mr. Scott King that's going to be on WGNradio.com. We'll make sure that's on our Facebook page. So make sure you like us there, and we always appreciate everybody listening. So, Episode 11 in the books. Blackhawks tomorrow get the Buffalo Sabres. They actually got a really busy month here before the All-Star break, so they're going to be busy. They're going to be challenged. So we'll see. Right now, they're rolling, though, 5 games in a row. Hopefully they can make it 6 tomorrow at the UC. For my man, Scott King, I am Mike Jacobson. We'll talk to you next week.